All right, we're back here, and we're back here with two of the county commissioners from Allegan County. And we'd be happy to take your calls if you want to ask them questions. 395-1450, our line is open. We have Dean Kapinga along with Jim Story with us. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Juke.
Good morning, Juke, and good morning to your listeners as
well. All right.
Well.
What's going on in Allegan County?
I think the first thing we'd like to just mention, Juke, is... No, it's our condolences to the Hoppe family. I mean, that was a real tragedy that happened in our county with the accident. And we also just wanted to mention to your listeners that a lot of work has been done. We had a severe accident with a family some 4 years ago in the same intersection.
Right.
And for the past 4 years, MDOT, local townships, we have looked at how can we improve that artery of M40.
Yeah.
And I know that MDOT, you know, in the last 4 years, has put up a turn lane, has put up flashers. Starting in 2014, they are going to put in a ramp, you know, for the southbound traffic that goes back onto I-96 eastbound.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to happen this coming summer. But there are a lot of people that are still looking at the answers to making that a safer corridor.
Yeah.
And we just wanted your listeners to know that. We also just wanted to offer our condolences to the Hoppe family and our prayers to go with them.
But you're working on it, and
yes,
you
are.
Haven't forgotten it.
Oh man, no,
no. I mean, it's whenever you have, you know, major trucks mixing in a corridor with that is a heavy commuter corridor, it raises issues that need, you know, really serious attention. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes a tragedy like Mr. Hoppe's death to really refocus attention on solving it. And I know the Holland City and Fillmore Township, which are the two relevant jurisdictions here, along with the county, of course, are going to focus some attention with the Michigan Department of Transportation because it is their highway. M40 is their highway.
Yeah.
They have the authority over it. But it is a community of community interest. And
they don't live here.
We got to solve this problem so that we don't have any more of these types of preventable deaths.
Yeah.
And I happen to be on a M40 89 corridor committee that looks into these topics to try to create pressure for MDOT to look at it. I don't know if you've gotten calls at home, Jim. I've got many calls at home. I had an interesting call from a gentleman that I met with who said that in other states they actually have like a pad that trucks would go over that will signal a sign to go off. And he said, like we do have a small sign that says, you know, slow down for trucks coming out of that. You know, I went past there this morning. But this would have a pad with a large sign that only goes off if the truck's on the pad that would be going off onto the road. But I think there's a lot of good ideas out there, and if your listeners have any comments about that, we gladly take them.
Yes,
absolutely. A nice something go over the highway and then come back on would be the way to go, really.
You bet.
Yeah, all right. All right, what else is going on in Allegan County?
Well, we had an interesting day yesterday. We had our planning session in the morning, then we had our regular commission meeting in the afternoon, but we had just a lot of vendors. We had different people that came to speak to us. One of them that I felt was very interesting was from MSU Extension. And I don't know if your listeners really know what they are, but they're part of Michigan State that is the educational branch to help farmers, help educate students in regards to this. But I thought these numbers would just be fun for your listeners to look at because they were to me. But they just had the numbers of Allegan County, what's really happening in it for ag. And Allegan County is the number one producer of hogs and pigs in Michigan with a market value of some $91 million.
Really?
They said that, like, this past year there was 195,695 hogs sold in Allegan County. And I just look at that number and go, Jim, can you imagine that? And especially our areas are very significant within that.
Right.
But then they had some 43,000 acres of soybeans were being grown in our county. Then they had just the blueberry crop that's very large in Allegan County, and I didn't realize it was that large. But Allegan County ranks fourth in Michigan in value of nurseries, greenhouses, horticulture, and sod. Over $52 million annually are sold as far as a nursery stock in Allegan, which is fourth in all of Michigan. You know, and I didn't realize that. I don't know if you did, Jim.
No, I did not. But the other thing is that we talked about with the MSU Extension Director is one that I think looking forward. I mean, this is this report is kind of like looking backwards.
Yes, it is.
And which is good. You want to do both, particularly in December. You want to look backwards at the accomplishments of the previous year and forward to what we can accomplish in the future. And one of the things that I think is very important in looking to the future, and it has been highlighted by the Michigan Farm Bureau, is the fact that in our rural areas, we need to improve, bolster a high-speed internet. Mm-hmm. Because as the numbers that Dean has just given you shows you that agriculture is a huge business.
It is.
And very important to the sustenance of our economy and jobs and going forward. But where there is a weak link right now is the fact when you get to rural areas, the effective internet access kind of drops off. And a lot of people will think, well, you need it for manufacturing, and of course you do, and manufacturing, of course, tends to be located in cities. But we undermine the growth of our agriculture business if we don't pay some attention to improving internet access and broadband service in our rural areas. And I'm glad the Farm Bureau has highlighted that. We brought it up to the MSU Extension, and I hope going forward in the future we can put together, kind of a group of people that will maybe make us a pilot, for high-speed internet in rural areas.
Mm-hmm. And this was just a surprising number. I know that there's some 40-plus percent of people that don't have any type of internet in Allegan County, and I thought the number would be much lower than that.
Right.
I know in Saugatuck Township, I had a board meeting just this past week. Their township's looking at internet for their township as far as how the township can help and enhance that or just all their citizens within it. And I know that we've addressed that issue. I don't think we've come to any great conclusions as far as how to do it for a county, but we are looking at it as a county.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just some other numbers. I had my kids that were in 4-H. We had sheep and we had some steers. We had a lot of fun with it. But here's some numbers with the 4-H clubs, which is part of MSU Extension. We have some 40 clubs in Allegan County. 653 youth are enrolled in clubs. It's a large number. 513 adult volunteers and 160 youth volunteers for clubs and activities. There's approximately 4,776 youth that were involved in 4-H this past year in activities and what went on. And I think that's a very significant part of MSU Extension. And I don't know if you still go to the fair, Juke, but you really see them coming out within that part of it as far as we always make sure we get to the barns to see that. And it was very special for our youth to learn about cows and sheep, but also learn the money management within that whole system, that I was very proud of.
That's a whole family thing when you got a kid in 4-H.
No, it is. I don't know if you've seen this, Jim, but we've talked about the senior millage before.
Yes.
That in Allegan County we have a senior millage that raises some $1 million, but it's for seniors and it's for veterans also. And I think that veterans part of it gets lost within the senior millage. But I just got this for the last 3 months. This is some of the numbers that your listeners might enjoy seeing. But for adult daycare, that's for clients where they spend structured time with others, seniors, instead of being isolated at home. Some 30 seniors were seen. Home-delivered meals, we had some 246 seniors that were brought home-delivered meals, mm-hmm. which I thought was very interesting. In-home support, that would mean assistance with homemaking, laundry, meal preparation. Some 297 seniors were involved in that through that senior millage. And then personal emergency response system, some 21 seniors were offered that, and where they have to just push a button and some emergency response will come to them.
Right.
But 21 seniors pushed that and were helped. And then just for volunteer transportation, there was some 164 seniors that were involved in that. And then something that I hadn't seen before, but we had some 204 veterans that were seen in our office just for help for them. With five veterans with wartime services were provided relief through the Veterans Trust Fund. Some 15 veterans with wartime services were provided relief through that fund also. Then 141 veterans were helped with federal forms that were filled out for Veteran Administration assistance. So I just commend the people in voting this millage in. It's done a lot of help and caring for seniors and helping for veterans. And it's good for me to see these numbers because it's just much larger than what I had assumed, and I'm sure you've seen that too, Jim.
And the reports that we get from the Senior and Veteran Services section of the county government have gone to each of the townships, and they broke it out by each township and each city that received service. So I think that's good so people know that it's not just somewhere else, that service is being provided throughout the county.
Right.
Indeed. This is something new that I just mentioned to Jim before he came in here. It's something I didn't know about, but it's for disabled veterans. There's a There's a MCL Act 211.7. I'll just read it for you for the listeners. It's, if you're a disabled veteran, for real property, as far as for property tax, you don't have to pay that. And there's actually a form that would allow you and your spouse to not pay property tax.
Really?
And it's something that I never heard of. Jim had never heard of it. Yeah. And Township Supervisor from Manlius, Barb McGeldren, said, hey, this just came up.
Hmm.
You should make sure that you tell your constituents in your areas about this so that they know that there is an exemption for them, for disabled veterans, to not pay property taxes. And they should get a hold of the people in the city here or their township supervisors, go to their branches and talk to them about this MCL.211.7B regarding veteran exemptions.
Yeah.
And that's available to them, and I never knew about it.
Yep. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's take time out for a word here. We'll be right back with our guests. If you have a question for them, you may call us.
Heartfelt service that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. It's a promise we've kept for over 100 years.
All right, we're back here. We're back with two of the county commissioners from Allegan County. And if you have questions, you may call us, 395-1450. Our line is open. And do you have a phone number that we could get a hold of that service, like the Veterans Service and the Senior Service?
Yeah, the Veterans Service is 269. I'm sorry. The senior services, if a senior needs help, is 269-673-0501. For veteran services, the number is 877-673-5333, and that's a toll-free number.
673-5333. Okay, thank you.
I think we got a call here.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning. I have a question. You were just talking about that tax exemption for veterans. Is that strictly for Allegan County, or is that for other counties,
That's
too?
That's for the state of Michigan, isn't it?
It's for the state of Michigan.
What was that exemption number that they should check for?
It was MCL.211.7B.
Mm-hmm. 7B as in boy?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Might save some money on taxes there.
Yes.
All right. 395-1450 is our number if you'd like to call us and talk to the gentleman we have here as our guest this morning. All right, what else is going on in the county?
Well, yesterday, which was our final Board of Commissioners meeting for the year, for 2013, we also heard about Project Clarity, which is an organized effort that really started out in private sector with a lot of the leaders, private business leaders in the Holland, Zealand area, but it's to clean up the watershed that drains into Lake Makatawa.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, they have raised $3 million towards a almost $13 million goal to help educate how we can adopt good practices in the land use so that we start making the waterfront more friendly for recreation and private use.
Okay, got a call here. Good morning, you're online with our guests.
Yeah, what was that phone number for the veterans?
The phone number for the veterans. Okay, that was 877. No, that was...
Yes, no, it is. It's 877-673-5333.
Okay, now is that... veterans or disabled veterans, or how do they classify that?
It's for disabled veterans, and if there was a disabled veteran that died, this is also open for the exemption for his wife.
Okay, how do you consider the disabled veteran?
I can give you the terminology for it. Disabled veteran means a person who is a resident of the state and who meets one of the following criterias. Let me see what would best describe that. Has a certificate from the United States Veterans Administration or a successor certifying that he or she is receiving or has received pecuniary assistance due to disability of specially adapted housing. So that's the description they give of a disabled veteran.
Okay. So in other words, if I call this phone number, I can get more information on that too?
Yeah. Yes, you can, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
They'll probably be busy for a while over there.
Yes, they will. And that's great.
That's this time of year that you and I start collecting all that data.
That's right.
For you, so.
Right. Okay. What else we got this morning?
Well, I just wanted to spend a little bit more time on this Project Clarity. A lot of the local governmental units have endorsed it, and we as a county have been approached to endorse this project. It so far hasn't included any local governmental funds, but the Mackinac watershed is a very big area. It's 175 square mile area around Lake Mac, over nearly 700 miles of rivers and streams and ditches that drain into the Mac. And one of the issues is why we're kind of catching up with the founding of our area. Holland and the adjacent townships were largely built upon wetlands. And if you think about our history, that would make sense because we had Dutch settlers, and what's the Netherlands famous for? Reclaiming land, from the North Sea in that area for production. So, and while that was good and helped get, one of the best communities that we have in the state going, it also has led to, as more modern technology has been added, has led to, drainage of pollutants into the Mac, or Lake Mackinac. So this whole effort is both an educational and an effort to kind of address those practices so that we can make that Lake Mac watershed more friendly for recreation.
Good. All right. Got another call. Good morning. Good morning. I guess they didn't stay with us. Okay. 395-1450, Operation Clarity. That means clarity of water, I'm assuming.
Yes. Project Clarity. Some of the other things is the benefit would be increase the value of property around the lake and the contributing streams. It would also reduce the negative effects of floods because it would let the land soak up more of the water before it goes where you don't want it to go when you have a large rainfall. Also, the economic impact of increased tourism. While we're known for manufacturing and agriculture, this past summer, the tourism number of visitors that visited our area was just unbelievable. He had 90% capacity in some of our hotels and motels. There's a great industry for that. And also will make it a destination for natural resource managers and watershed planners as they seek how a community comes together, led by private sector, but probably private-public partnership, to remediate some of the past practices. Obviously, the ecological benefits will be great if we make the area more friendly to flora and fauna. And then the restoration will also help the Mackinac River Greenway project, which is growing in importance. You see more and more kayakers out there on those streams, people enjoying them. Where I think in the past kind of had given up on the streams as a recreational source, but now they are. And then fisheries. When the area was first settled, commercial fishing was a huge industry here.
It was.
But because of, we went to a manufacturing and agricultural-based economy, a lot of the fisheries kind of disappeared. But this project will, using modern techniques, allow, side-by-side fishery development, manufacturing, and agriculture to coexist and maybe bring back some of that great fishing industry.
You buy those good smoked fish down Saugatuck.
That's right.
Yes, it did.
That's right. And then the current dredging practices, require a lot of sediment removal. That's one of the big issues right now in the Great Lakes. There's a conference committee in the United States Congress between the Senate and the House of Representatives on providing enough dredging assistance so that our harbors stay alive and friendly for boaters. Well, if you can, use modern management practices for upstream, then you don't have the sediment coming into the lake and requiring the dredging. So those are all some of the project benefits. We will be taking probably some action on this next month at our county board meeting. We did not yesterday, but it was good to hear from Travis Williams, the executive director of the Outdoor Discovery Center, who's kind of the lead person on this.
Yeah.
And he was very, very thoughtful in his response.
Very knowledgeable on that sort of thing.
He sure is. A great resource, a great educator, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, speaking of water systems, we had about 30 people in our meeting yesterday from the Dumont Lake area
as
far as residents. And many of the lakes, I'm sure, in Ottawa and in Elgin, because of the lack of rain, are very much down in lake levels. So
right.
In Dumont Lake, we had residents that were there, that had lived there for some 50 years, that were telling us that their shoreline is down some 20 to 30 feet. And in order to get a shore station and a boat on it, it's really almost impossible to happen.
Hmm.
And that group is requesting from us that we allow a structure to be built, as far as a dam to be built, that would help create an existing lake level that they would actually put in a number, as far as they want to have an established number of a lake level that would help with the fishing, you know, that would help with
yeah.
boating, and would actually add great value to the local, you know, people that live around that lake.
Yeah.
And so we heard some interesting debate on both sides as far as for it, against it, and that being helpful.
Got a call here.
Okay.
Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Good morning. You're talking about different lakes and stuff. And the DNR launch on Riverside Drive always used to have a lot of cars and stuff in it. And that launch has not been utilized at all in the last few years. It's got a beautiful parking lot, the bathrooms and everything, but you can't even get a boat in there. Is there any way that you can somehow work with the DNR or the Corps of Engineers and get that dug out so you can get a boat in there so that river can be utilized?
Sir, are you referring to, we call it River Road, you're just off River Road or 130th and the one
yes.
that's right around?
Yes.
Yes. I haven't been there for years, but I will bring that up to the DNR and try to take a look at that, and I appreciate the call on it, but I'll
okay.
see what they say about it.
I did call the DNR a few years ago, and I also got in touch with the Corps of Engineers, and they just kind of wrote it off as the dropping water levels. But if it would just be dug out, it could be utilized so much more than what it is.
Can you get a boat in and out of that right now or not?
No, you cannot, no. No, and I would love to go there. I used to go there all the time fishing, but I can't even get a boat in there no more.
I will bring it up. Thank you for the information.
Good.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's the kind of input you need.
It is. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have some more sportsmen come in with their boats. New Richmond's pretty busy most of the time.
New Richmond's real busy, that new launch that we put in there.
Yeah.
And if your listeners haven't been just there just to walk, there's a beautiful walk across the bridge, and we have
yeah.
just a wooden, almost like walkway along the river. It's gorgeous in there. We take
it
our family
is.
There often.
But go there when the mosquitoes are down a little bit.
Yes. That is a good idea because it can get nasty.
Yes, it can. What's coming up in the commission next year?
Well, in the first quarter of 2014, we will be opening our new jail.
Yes.
Next month when we're here, we'll have some dates for people to write down when
okay.
they can come and take a look at the jail before it's occupied by the people we unfortunately have to incarcerate. But I think you'll be very pleased with the stewardship in developing that jail. It's a great facility and a great bargain when you consider what other counties and other states spend on providing security for the populations with their jails.
Okay, and we're out of time, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Duke.